Hallelujah. Everyone is there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not. Praise be to God. But I will be soon. Amen. Pardon me. Page 593 in your Kenneth Copeland Bible. Thank you, Helen. That's exactly where it is. Page 593. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the children of Israel came to Jehoshaphat, informing him that the Moabites, the Amorites, and the inhabitants of Seir had joined themselves together to cast Israel out of the promised land, to prevent them from going into the promised land. By the way, the Moabites and the Amorites, those are the offspring of the incestuous children of Lot. If you don't know that, if you ever wondered who the Amorites and Moabites were, amen, this is not going to be a Bible history class tonight, but I'm just impressed to pass that on to you. These are the offspring of the incestuous children of Lot. They're Lot's incestuous offspring. Did you understand that? Amen. That's where these people came from. Amen. And the inhabitants of Seir. Jehoshaphat got into fear. They were out being outnumbered by the Moabites. Amen. I'll give you a little bit of history. You don't want to try to read the thing there. Now you'll just have to listen to what I'm saying to you. Hallelujah. They were going to keep them from the promised land. The people came running to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat went to God and said, God, you promised, you said. We've never bothered these people. These are people you told us to leave alone, God. We've never bothered these people. We've never had conflict with these people before. Now they're coming against us to keep us from the promised land. And you promised us that you would protect us in times of war, famine, sword, sickness, whatever, lack. God, you promised. You've got to help us, God. We're outnumbered. We don't know what to do. There's nothing we can do. They'll wipe us out. Jehoshaphat prayed to Jehovah God, if you don't do something, then you don't do something now. And look right here in verse 13, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And Judah stood before the Lord, all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, a bunch of babies here too, amen. Hallelujah. And then after Jehoshaphat's prayer, Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, upon him came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He's a prophet. And he said, by the Spirit of God, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you. Number one, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, excuse me, but the Lord's. Notice he said, number one, fear not. Number one, get out of fear. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Stand right up to them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. He told them where they'd be. What gift of the Spirit is that? That's a word of wisdom, a supernatural revelation from the mind of God, having to do with people, places, things, or events, always having to do with the future. He told them where they're going to be tomorrow to attack them. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still. And see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, he told them again, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, in all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. This is where most people come up short when they're in the crisis. They don't fall on their face to worship God. They fall into bawling and squalling and crying and complaining and moodiness and rudeness when the pressure's on. Amen? When we should be on our faces. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They've never been in this kind of trouble in all their lives. And God said, stand still, I'll fight for you, you praise me. And that's what they're doing. They rose up early the next morning, they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, he's got a 28-word instruction here. Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers, not armor bearers, singers unto the Lord, that should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come out against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab, who could these ambushments possibly be, by the way, if I may take a moment? It's all they could be. There was nobody else there except the Amorites, the Moabites, the children of Seir in Israel. And God told Israel, you're not going to fight in this battle. It had to be angels. You know, it could just be one angel. The Bible says in 2 Kings 19:35 that the angel of the Lord came out one night and smote 185 Assyrians single-handedly, the angel of the Lord, in one night. And you know by now, you've been around here long enough to know that in the Old Testament, every reference to the angel of the Lord is a reference to Jesus in the body of an angel. This could have been Jesus right here. One angel come out and whip up on the Moabites, the Amorites, and the children of Seir, on behalf of Israel, single-handedly wiping them out and causing them to fight against one another. When they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come out against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Seir. Look at that infighting. They turned on one another, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, who they were in alliance with, every one helped to destroy another. The Moabites turned against the Amorites. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth. No one escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. Hallelujah! All through the power of praise, all through the power of devil busting, yoke destroying, enemy smashing, spoil gathering power of praise. Guess what we're talking about tonight? We're talking about the power of praise. When healing won't come, financial situation won't change, strife, division, crazy kids doing crazy things, family members who need deliverance, you need direction for your life, you've been fasting, you've been praying, it's time to stop the fasting, time to stop the praying, start eating and praising God. It worked for Israel, it'll work for you. Amen? We need to learn like Israel to take up battle stations of praise. We are the church triumphant. Amen? This battle that the Israelites won, look at it and learn from it. Amen? The battle is the Lord's. I don't know what you're going through, but I know you're going through something. And I don't need to know what it is. All I need to know is that if you'll take up your battle stations of praise, God guarantees to fight the battle for you. Not only fight the battle for you, but win the battle for you and give you the spoil. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. That's Bible preaching. That's good preaching. Stand still. Don't try to fight it out yourself. There's nothing you can do. Just stay out of fear. Get on your face and worship Him if you need to. Praise Him and He'll fight the battle for you. And when He fights your battles for you, He's never lost a battle yet. He's not going to start with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, "But Thou, O Lord, art holy, who inhabits the praises of Israel." If God inhabits the praises of Israel, and they're not even His children yet. They will be, but they're not His children yet. If He inhabits their praises, how much more does He inhabit the praises of you and me? We're His children. He's our daddy. And He inhabits our praises. If you need God to show up on the scene where it appears He hasn't been showing up on the scene, turn to the power of praise. Take up your battle station of praise. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. You need more of God? God needs more of you. Through the power of praise and worship. He's a good God. He's not withholding anything from anybody. You can literally, if heaven seems like brass to you tonight, you can punch a hole in heaven with the power of praise and see God move supernaturally where maybe it appeared He wasn't moving before. Hallelujah. I didn't come up with this message tonight. The Lord put it on my heart, wanting to do something for somebody. Count me in, God. Hallelujah. We always take up our battle stations of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe in taking authority over the devil in Jesus' name. I believe in fasting and praying. Amen. But there's a time to stop fasting. There's a time to stop praying. And there's a time to take up your battle station to praise. And begin to praise Him for the answer before you even see it. Amen. Time spent whining, begging God, being moody, being rude, being irritable, being short, being stuffy, huffy, and whatever is time wasted that could be spent in praise and in worship. Amen? It's true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know that praise is the language of faith? There is no higher expression of faith than praise. It's impossible. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:17, it comes into my heart, he said, when you give praise to God, when you give thanks to God in other tongues, he said, 1 Corinthians 14:17, for thou verily givest thanks well. That word well is perfect. There's no more perfect way to give praise and thanks to God than in other tongues, particularly when you're in a crisis, when you're going through a crisis. Every adjective in your vocabulary cannot get the job done. Praising God, like praying in other tongues, praising, worshiping in other tongues. Paul said, verily thou givest thanks well, verily thou givest perfect praise to the Almighty when you take the time to praise Him. In other tongues, something will break. Something will break. It's powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Look what He did for Israel. Look what He did for Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel. All they had to do was fear not, stand still, sing and praise the Lord. And He whipped the fire out of their enemies and let them keep all that stuff. How much more will God do for you and for me through the power of praise? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 8:6 that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. It'll work more effectively for us than it did for Israel if we'll utilize it. But unfortunately, some people prefer whining, bawling, and squalling. Not me, amen? The devil's bombarding you with problems at home, problems on the job, bigger than life itself. Take up your battle station and blast them with the power of praise. Amen? You can't do it at home, and you can't get off some no place at home or on the job where you can do it in private. I always tell people, get in the car and drive down the road praising God out of your spirit, singing to God out of your spirit, praising to God with your understanding, and singing to Him with your understanding. It's supernatural. He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Natural and spiritual giants oppressed Israel. Natural and spiritual giants are going to come and try to oppress us. Amen? But we can break their backs with the power of praise. Amen? People of power in the Bible are people of praise. Amen? And all throughout human history, people of power have always been people of praise. It's the praise is the language of faith. There's no... Hallelujah. I'm going to move forward here because we're going to do something a little bit different here tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Job. Let me just use Job as an example. Amen? Religion uses him. We're not going to turn over there. We don't have time. Hallelujah. Because we're going to take... So I'm going to just preach to you for a few more minutes here. Then we're going to praise God together tonight. Amen? We're going to have a time of praise. We're going to have a time of worship in here tonight. In areas where you've been believing God, some strongholds are going to be broken. Do you believe that? It's time for some breakthrough around here. Hallelujah. Religion uses Job as a biblical example of a man with problems. But the Bible uses Job as a biblical example of a man with solutions. Somebody said to me one time, they were going through something, and they said to me, well, Pastor, I'm just God's Job. And I said, well, if you are, you're bound to break out of it in the next 9 months and to have twice as much coming out as you had going in, because what Job went through ended in 9 months and he had twice as much going in, coming out, as he had going into that mess. So if you're God's Job, get ready for a breakthrough. Amen? Job made some pretty stupid mistakes. He did. Satan was able to kill his livestock, kill his servants, kill his children, burn up everything that remained. It was his fault. He admitted it. Amen? He himself went through that deal covered with boils from head to foot. You think you got trouble. Hallelujah. Just imagine whatever troubles you're going through right now, and yourself covered with boils from head to foot to where you're breaking parts to get pieces to scratch yourself. Break them things open and get some relief. Hallelujah. But still, he didn't blame God. He didn't blame God. The Bible says in Job 1:20, Job arose and rent his mantle, tore his clothing, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped God. Didn't blame God. He worshipped God. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly with his mouth. He worshipped God. He worshipped God. He worshipped God in the midst of the crisis of his life. Even his wife. Nothing worse than when your wife stops supporting you. Amen? The one that's sent into your life for the express purpose of supporting you, and you supporting her, of course, don't get me wrong, but to have your wife come to you and say, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Why don't you curse that foolish God of yours and die? He did this to us. The Bible says, in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Amen. His friends came offering all kinds of stupid, ignorant, religious counsel. And when all was said and done, Job humbled himself, and he won out at the end. The Bible says at the end of the book of Job, in Job 42:10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for those bad boys, those ignorant, religious friends of his, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before he went in to that crisis situation. You know, it says in Job chapter 1, if you want to just scratch that in your notes, when he started out, he had 7,000 sheep in Job 1. He had 3,000 camels when he went into this mess. He had 1,000 oxen. He had 500 oxen, 500 donkeys. Amen. And when he came out of it, he had 14,000 sheep. This is double of what he went into this mess with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a God of breakthrough. And when he breaks through, he breaks through. And everything is supplied supernaturally. Where it seemed like there was nothing, you were faced with nothing but filth and stoppage. When God breaks through by the power of praise, increase always rides in on the tail of it. He came out of it with twice as many sheep, 14,000, twice as many camels, 6,000, twice as many oxen, 1,000 oxen, came out of it with 1,000 donkeys, that's twice what he had, and 10 more kids. I'm still believing for revelation where the blessing is in that, but God is faithful. 10 more kids, and he lived 140 more years. Not bad. In today's economy, that was worth $5 million. When Job went into that mess, he was the wealthiest man in the East. He was worth $2.5 million by today's standard. When he came out of it, he was worth over $5 million. And God did that because in spite of what he went through, the Bible says in all of this, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. He got on his face and he worshipped God. Amen. Now, God wasn't doing it to him. Amen. The devil was doing it to him. But Job didn't let it turn him away from God. King David, we got to move through these quickly. Amen. King David knew the power of praise. He said in Psalm, David's in the crisis of his life. You know the story of Abimelech. His son turned against him, turned his army, turned his friends against him. And in the crisis of his life, in this Abimelech problem he was having, he said in Psalm 34, verse 1, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Some people, they get under a little bit of pressure and they turn on God. And his praise is not continually in their mouth. Not David. Not David. Listen, David played a harp too. And he used to praise and worship God continually through singing. Amen? Hallelujah. He praised God continually. Saul, King Saul, would call upon David's ability for deliverance. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, 23, the Bible says Saul was being tormented by an evil spirit. He called for David. David came with his harp. David came and sang and gave praises unto God. And Saul was instantly delivered through the power of praise and worship. Saul called on David frequently to get delivered of evil spirits through the power of praise and worship. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, you can just write it down. We see the prophet Elijah. When the anointing of God wasn't there like it should be, he called for the minstrel, which the Bible calls a minstrel, a musical person, a praise person, to come and to sing and to praise God. And when that minstrel played and praised and sang unto God and worshiped God, the anointing would come upon the prophet Elijah, and he could minister supernaturally by the power of God where he couldn't before the minstrel came and offered praise unto God. The principle will work for us as well. Amen. There's something about praise and worship. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. If he's not been showing up like he's promised to show up, it's not his fault. Maybe it's yours. Maybe you need to just take up your battle station of praise. Quit praying. Quit praying about the same situation over and over and over and over again. Take up your battle station of praise and you will see your breakthrough. Luke chapter 17, turn over there with me real quick if you would. And then we're going to have a little bit of time here. We're going to just praise God here tonight for a few minutes. Luke chapter 17, let me give you a New Testament example here. Luke chapter 17, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 17, let's start over here in verse 15. I'm not going to preach much longer here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you there? Hallelujah. Oh, let's go pick it up. In verse 11, it came to pass, he went to Jerusalem and passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They had, by law, they had to stand 300 feet away from Jesus. They lifted up their voices and had to shout, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he had to shout back, they're 300 feet away. Go show yourselves to the priest, he shouted back. He didn't even pray for them. And it came to pass as they went, as they obeyed him, they were cleansed. And one of them, of the 10, when he saw he was healed, that the leprosy had stopped eating away at his body, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he wasn't even a Jew. He's a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except for this stranger? The other 9 must have been Jews. He's the only one that got called the stranger is the Samaritan who came back and gave Jesus thanks for healing him of leprosy. And Jesus said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. You've heard me share on this before. Those other 9, the Bible says they were healed. If they had leprosy eaten away at their nose, it stopped, but they had to live without a nose. If leprosy had eaten their ears off or an eyeball, they had to live the rest of their lives. No ears, no eyeball, but the leprosy couldn't eat at them anymore. But this one who came back and gave praise to Jesus and glorified him, he was made whole. His ears grew back. His eye came back. His nose came back. His toes grew back. Whatever he was missing, shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken through the power of coming back and giving glory to Jesus and giving praise to God. Amen. Go over there to Acts chapter 16. Praise is the worship. Praise and worship is the highest expression of faith. The highest expression of faith. Praise and worship. Amen. What percentage of people can you think of who do what we just saw this leper do in Luke 17 as you go to Acts chapter 16. What percentage of people do you know give that kind of praise and give that kind of glory and bother to take time out to get at the feet of Jesus and just worship him for everything he's done? Most people don't. Amen? Most Christian people I know of, they gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. It's all about them. Amen? It's not all about God. They want to prosper for all the wrong reasons. They want to be healed for all the wrong reasons, not to glorify God. Amen? They want to be healed so they can watch soap operas with greater gusto. Hallelujah. Shouldn't be watching soap operas. If you do, you know, they're of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're of the devil. Hallelujah. If you watch soap operas, you're submitting to the devil. Well, I don't think anybody in here does. Hallelujah. But there's other people listening to us besides people who are in here. Amen. Soap operas are of the devil. As the stomach turns, it's not God. Amen. Hallelujah. Where did I ask you to go? Acts chapter 16. We're going to just take a moment here. We're going to look at something that occurred in the life of Paul and Silas. But before we go over there and read that together, I want to point out to you, you notice in your Bible reading from this day forward, if you've never noticed it before, all of Paul's letters almost always begin or end with tremendous expressions of praise. All of Paul's letters. That's why he was as powerful as he was. He was a thankful man of praise and worship. Amen? Praise was a way of life with the Apostle Paul. Let me just... Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hebrews 13:15. By him therefore... let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, or sometimes praise is a sacrifice. Sometimes we have to sacrifice to praise God. Amen? It's not always an easy thing to do. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I hope you're writing these down. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. In everything, notice not for everything. Don't give God praise for the strife that's going on the job or in your family. Never give God praise for cancer or sickness or poverty or lack. He's not causing that. Paul didn't say give thanks for those things. He said give thanks in those things, because giving praise and worship in those things is the way out of those things. You see what I'm saying? He said in all things, not for... I've heard people stand up and preach that Paul was saying here, give God the glory for your cancer. So I don't see that there. It doesn't say for everything. It says in everything. Give him praise in the midst of it. That's how you're going to get out of it. Give him praise for healing. Amen. Give him praise for prosperity. Rise above those problems. Amen. Give him praise in the midst of that extreme persecution. It's the means of escape. Amen. Hallelujah. I asked you to go to Acts chapter 16. Hallelujah. I'm just kind of talking to you tonight out of these verses of Scripture. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 16. Talking about the power of praise. The power of praise. That leper came back. He got more than the other nine because he took some time and he thanked God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'll thank God before your need is met, you'll be amazed at what he'll do for you. Here in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in Macedonia. They cast a spirit out of a woman who had what the Bible calls a spirit of divination. The spirit enabled her supernaturally to read people's mail. And she was under the control of a couple of guys who were using her to tell people's fortunes and charging them. These two guys, these couple of guys were making profit off of this girl who's possessed of the devil. Well, this girl started following Paul around everywhere he went, harassing him. He turned around and he said, come out of her in Jesus' strong name. And the spirit came out and she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. And the two guys that were controlling her and making a living off of her became irate. And they went to the police and lied about him. And they came and they arrested him and they beat him and they threw him in prison. He didn't do anything wrong. All he did was cast the spirit out of a woman that was harassing him. Pick it up right here. Look what they did to him in verse 23. We'll go with verse 23. When they had laid many stripes upon them, Paul and Silas, they were working together, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Locked them in there tight, man. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, down in the dump dungeon, and made their feet fast in the stocks. No getting out of that. They're down here in the deepest, darkest, coldest part of the prison, where there was the least chance of escape. Amen? You ever been there? You might be there right now in the deepest, darkest, coldest part of the prison. You might be going through the darkest experience of your life right now. I don't know. I don't know. The devil's telling you there's no way out. There's no way out. There's no way out. There's no way out. There is a way out. God always makes a way where there is no way. He's a supernatural God. Amen. In verse 25, and at midnight, Paul said to Silas, I'm really sorry, man. I guess I shouldn't have cast the devil out of that poor old girl. And Silas said, no, you shouldn't have, and I ain't running with you no more. Is that what that says in your Bible? It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Isn't that what happened kind of over there with Peter in Acts chapter 12? When the angel came and supernaturally caused the bands and the chains to fall off of Peter through praise and worship, God not only broke the bands and got out of the stocks, Paul and Silas, and caved that entire prison in, and nobody was killed in it. That's miraculous and supernatural in and of itself. But every other prisoner in there, their bands just fell off supernaturally. That's a swap-over blessing. Paul and Silas were giving God praise and glory, and everybody in the prison got blessed by that by that time of praise and worship. I call that a slop over blessing. God filled that cup so full, it overflowed into the saucer, and all of the other prisoners got to drink out of that saucer. They got a slop over blessing. They got delivered! Listen, the Bible says that all the other prisoners could hear them in verse 25. They were singing and praising God pretty loud, and they were suffering horribly. Stocks in those days, they were set up to torture you. They would stretch your arms as far as they'd go and put them in the stocks and spread your legs and stretch your ankles as far apart as they would possibly go, lock them in there, and that'd do serious damage to your ankles and to your wrists and to your back and to your body. These men were suffering. And in the midnight of their lives, they sang loud praises and worship unto God. And God sent, what do you call it on the Richter scale? An earthquake, a number 10 on the Richter scale. Cave that whole place in, but supernaturally spared every life. God can make a way where there is no way. Amen? Hallelujah. But mechanical praise and worship isn't going to get it. We have to praise God with our whole heart. Amen? You know, in Numbers 21, it comes into my heart, the children of Israel began to gripe against Moses for leading them out into the wilderness. They continued that constant complaint of not having bread, not having onions, not having meat, just eating this stinking manna every day, provided for God supernaturally. They kept griping and griping and griping until finally vipers showed up and began to bite all of the people. Remember that in Numbers chapter 21? The vipers came and they cried out to Moses. They said, We're so sorry for criticizing God's leadership, Moses. Pray to God for us and get these vipers off of us. So Moses intervened and he prayed on their behalf. He went to God. And God said, okay, here's what we'll do. Tell them to quit the griping first. Quit the complaining. That's what opened the door to it. And take a serpent and put it on a pole and hold it up. And everybody who looks at it will get healed. They call them fiery serpents, those vipers, because they'd bite you and you'd get so red and inflamed you'd look like you were on fire. It was horrible, painful. But if they looked at the serpent on the pole, they would get healed. They had to repent, look at the serpent on the pole, and they could get healed. If they could get healed looking at a symbol of Jesus on a pole, they put a serpent up there. God said, use a serpent. That symbolized Jesus becoming sin on the cross. For us. That's why he said put that on there. Amen. If they could get healed by looking at a symbol of Jesus going to Calvary, how much more can you get healed? How much more can you get healed? Open that and close that. How much more can you get healed by looking and turning directly to Jesus and not a symbol of him? Amen. The point being made in that chapter of scripture is the gripers get the vipers. Do you understand that? Do you realize in Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14, when the spies came back from... You can close up your Bibles if you want. We're all through. Amen. In Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14, when the spies came back from checking out the promised land, only two of them said, we're well able to take the promised land. The other eight said, there's giants there, too much, too big even from God. They gave an evil report. And all of Israel went with the eight that gave the evil report, and they refused to go with Joshua and Caleb, who said, we're well able to take it. The other eight said, no, the giants are too big. It can't be done. It can't be done. We can't do it. We can't do it. Israel chose to listen to the eight negative voices, and not one person who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, none of the adults, their children made it, none of those adults who went with the eight, who griped and complained, made it into the promised land. They had to stay in the wilderness, wandering for 40 years, until all who sided with the eight who gave the evil report died. Did you get that? Only Joshua and Caleb, out of the original 6.5 million who were supernaturally delivered from Egypt, made it into the promised land. Because the eight gave an evil report. And 6.5 million people followed it. Hallelujah. Faith always keeps a good report. Let's stand up. Faith always keeps a good report. Always. And praise is the highest expression of faith. Now it's early, and I'm through preaching. Amen? What worked for Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, whatever you're going through, you might be going through a crisis. You might not be going through a crisis, but you may have been praying about something for years, maybe decades, and you haven't seen the answer to that prayer yet. And you're just accustomed to living with that, believing in God's time, the answer will come. Well, maybe God wants to speed things up for you through the power of praise. God wants to do for you, whether you're just believing for a loved one, for finances, and you're not in a crisis, but you've been believing, you've not seen anything. Maybe you are going through a crisis, and it seems like there's no means of escape. What God did for Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, He wants to do for you. What He did for the 10 lepers, particularly the one who came back and gave praise and glory, He wants to do for you. What He did for King Saul through David's ministry, delivering King Saul from a spirit of insanity through the power of praise, He wants to do for you. Amen? What He did for the Apostle Paul and Silas in the midnight of their lives, delivering them supernaturally, making a way of deliverance and escape where there was no way, He wants to do for you. That's what He sent me down here to say tonight. And I said it. Amen? Now let's praise Him. Let's lift our hands and begin to praise Him right now. Just lift your hands and begin to praise Him right now. Praise Him now. Praise Him. Praise Him. Give Him glory. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Continue. If you're listening to us by recording, get up and praise Him. Or get down and praise Him. Whatever you're comfortable doing, however He leads you, you just continue to praise Him. If you're laboring under a burden of oppression and heaviness, just begin to praise Him until joy returns. Begin to praise Him until your joy returns. When joy returns, that means you got your breakthrough. That means you push through. That means God is on the scene. That means you're going to have the answer now. Continue to praise Him until joy returns and oppression lifts. That means, hallelujah, you made it through. You got your breakthrough. Continue to praise Him for the answer before you even see it. It takes faith. It takes faith to thank God. It takes faith to thank God for an answer before you see the manifestation. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to be a God pleaser. Continue to worship Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him till that note of joy returns. Hallelujah. 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 If you're listening to us by recording, put some praise music on. Put some praise music on. Get your eyes off your problem and get your eyes on the Lord. God will do for you what He did for Jehoshaphat.